Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. Weird shit has been happening for months. It started last fall, and as far as I can tell, it's still going on right now. I think about it all the time, but I haven't talked about it very much. I have tried to keep my head down and just do my job and not dwell on this weird shit. Why? Mostly because I can't totally explain it. A lot of it remains weird, unexplained. The job is not to speculate about mysterious weird shit. It is to investigate, to find answers, report it, and then, you know, opine about it. But, you know, first you have to have the facts. And for months, we didn't really have many. But some of it we figured out. And I'm ready to tell you about it. What the hell am I talking about? I'm talking about the Republican disinformation conspiracy against Canada Land. Yes, I'm serious. Wait for it. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Mary Hay, Kirsten Mercer, Robert W. Gale, Hiroshi Ryan, Devlin Duthie, Michelle Allen, Dan Frawley, and Paul Matthews.
Hi, my name is Paul Matthews. I'm a media douchebag from Toronto. I support Canada Land because it's one of the few places that's committed to the idea that Canada isn't boring. By believing that this country is important enough to cover intransigently, Jesse and his team might just help ensure we stay engaged enough to keep it alive. Plus, after over a decade of getting all my media for free and watching the industry fall apart, I figured I could probably spare the cost of a few cups of coffee on my sources of information and opinion.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer. And it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you?
Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We got a tour of their facilities in their downtown Toronto campus, and I was blown away by the heroic work that these people are doing. They are saving lives every day. I know people whose lives were saved, and they just really care about the dignity of the people who turn to them for help. Look, we talk a lot about these issues on Canada Land. We talk about the crisis that is claiming 20 lives every day in Canada to drug overdoses. But we don't give you a lot of options of what you can do about it. CAMH is an option. CAMH desperately needs resources that they directly put into their work, saving lives and turning people's lives around. Listen, May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. This is when they need your help the most. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope.
And one last message before we begin, because I realized something. I realized that there are all kinds of people out there. This is shocking. There are so many people out there who don't even know that this podcast exists. It just struck me. We make this thing. It's free. We want as many people as possible to listen to it. And yet most people don't even know that it's out there because I have forgotten to ask you to tell them. It's been a long time. So if you think there's somebody who just might like Canada Land or any of the other podcasts we make, for God's sakes, tell them that it exists. Spread the word any way you please, social media or, you know, human conversation. But yeah, Canada Land is a thing. It exists for all Canadians. Tell somebody. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jesse.
Jordan, you're my producer. When we've worked together in the past, usually you are on the other side of the glass, listening to me talk to myself in this room. Do you know why you're here with me now for the first time on the show?
Tell me why I'm here.
You're here because I consider you a level-headed, clear-eyed, rational, and intelligent person. The story I'm going to talk about today, I'm too close to it. It is about me. It's about Canada Land. And I just need a bit more hands-on help. I need somebody to bounce this off of and to ask me the right questions to make sure that I stay on track. Because I get very, very detail-oriented with this. I have been preoccupied with this stuff since it started happening in the fall. And I'm finally going to talk about it. But I need a clear-eyed and rational, cool presence like yours to help guide me through it.
Is that all?
That's it.
All right, Jesse, I'll do my best.
Can I tell you this story?
Please tell me the story.
All right. The story begins this past fall when weird shit started happening. I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I haven't talked about most of it. I'll remind everybody. First, our website was knocked off the internet completely by a DDoS attack. You know DDoS attacks?
Explain it to me.
It's when hackers might be generous. It's pretty easy to do. There's software that will allow parties that want to knock a website off the internet to kind of just like barrage it with traffic so that it's inaccessible to everybody else. They basically made Canada Land not work for a couple of days. So that was the first thing. Whatever. We fixed it. Then there was this Twitter bot attack against us. A Twitter bot attack might be a little bit hyperbolic. There were like a few dozen fake accounts that all simultaneously were criticizing Canada Land with very similar sentences. And all the sentences were criticizing us for a recent investigation that we had published on the WE organization, which is a large and influential philanthropic organization that we've been writing about. And so, you know, we just like noticed that the tweets looked really similar. And we started to do things like do image searches on the pictures and found that the pictures belonged to other people on Twitter. And then we looked at like, well, what were these accounts tweeting about before they were critical of us? And strangely, like almost all of them had been tweeting about the WWE. I don't know how one buys a Twitter bot army to sick on somebody, but like maybe it's organized alphabetically. I don't know. But it was very clear that these were not real people. And we tried actually like even getting in touch with them to say, why are you criticizing us? You know,
passionate about wrestling, passionate about Canadian media.
There was nobody there. These were bots. To be absolutely clear, we have no idea. We still have no idea who purposed this Twitter campaign, if it's the same people behind the DDoS attack.
But and you don't know who those people are either?
No idea. And this was just some weird shit that started happening. Then something a bit more concerning happened. The Toronto Sun published an editorial, and it ran across the Post Media Network after that. It was by a guy named Gus Portella, and it was a piece that was Like, you wouldn't know that it was about us from the headline. It was about, like, Canadians need to be afraid of fake news. It says fake news is a cancer. It's spreading across the world. And Gus Portella goes through, like, you know, it's spreading in this country. It's spreading in that country. And then finally he gets to Canada and he says, and it's spreading in Canada. And my example is Canada Land.
Yikes.
Right? So I expect for Canada Land to be criticized. I think we should be criticized. But this was weird criticism. Like, okay, you're going to call us fake news that we're a cancer. What did we do? And his examples were these really old examples. He had this one story that I had gotten a detail wrong about in like 2015 about the Greater Essex County School Board in Ontario. And, you know, I had corrected that years ago. And then he brings up our coverage of the Amanda Lang thing at CBC. Remember her? This is a story Sean Craig did for us years ago. Amanda Lang was a big CBC personality, and we found out that she was in a personal relationship with a guy from RBC Bank who she was covering, and also she was interfering in a colleague's story about RBC. That's a story that we got right. I mean, people were critical and said that we were too harsh on her, but there was no error there, and he's digging this up from our archives. I mean, Jordan, I've made way worse errors than the ones that Gus Portella writes about from like 2014. I mean, anybody with a passing interest in Canada Land could find more recent stuff that I've had to clarify or correct. And then I remembered those were some of the criticisms that the Globe and Mail had about me in a profile of me from years back. And if you were to Google Canada Land, like to try to find out about us, that would be the first thing that would come up. So I found myself kind of questioning whether this Gus Portella guy had been like really aware of Canada Land recently and felt compelled to write this Toronto Sun piece.
Who is this guy?
All right. So as I mentioned, he's from Washington, D.C. He is a Republican strategist. He runs a group called Accuracy in Media, which kind of scrutinizes the media for left-wing bias. He's a frequent Fox News commentator. Here's what he sounds like on Fox.
Look, I mean, the media's reputation has been beyond repair here, in my opinion. You've seen them for now 2 years of the Trump presidency, 3 years really, where they've just gone after the president and on many, many occasions have been rebuked, as like you said, BuzzFeed, for instance, by Bob Mueller.
Has he written about Canada before or for Canadian media or about us?
Gus Portella once did a CBC appearance talking about the U.S. midterm elections. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time he's ever written in the Canadian press. It's the first time he's ever written about Canada anywhere ever. So it just doesn't smell right.
Did he reach out to you at all for comment on this?
No. No. And that's the other thing is like, there's really nothing more serious you can say about journalists than that they're fake news. It's like it's defamatory, right? It's the worst thing you can say is that we're fake. And the irony is rule number one of journalism is you give the other side a chance to respond. And we never heard from this guy. He did not ask us any questions before he submitted this piece to The Sun and it ran across the post media chain. So I wanted to talk to him. I mean, like, sure, I'm like upset, but I'm also just super curious. Like, where is this coming from? How does he even know about us? And for a long time, I could not get in touch with him. He wouldn't return our calls. I finally got a phone number for him. And this is what that sounded like.
Can I ask you, how did we first come to your attention, why you decided to write about us?
We do a lot of research and we do a lot of, just important, essentially, you know, our work is to ensure that we keep the media accountable. And, that's not just in the United States. And so when we see something that is worth calling out and writing about and talking about, then we will do it.
All right. By the way, do you follow Amanda Lang?
Who?
Amanda Lang.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Okay. You wrote about her. One of the things that you criticized us about was our coverage of Amanda Lang. So it's interesting that you don't recognize her name.
Oh, that coverage.
What do you remember about Amanda Lang?
Well, I mean, specifically, I wrote about that, right? So, I mean, what the content in that was part of the research that we put together. I'm not sure where you're trying to get to here.
Do you remember what you wrote?
Yes, in the Toronto Sun. It's out there.
No.
Public knowledge.
Yeah, but what was your criticism? Do you remember? Do you remember who that is, Amanda Lang?
And how is that pertinent to this exactly?
I guess I'm trying to figure out if you're actually familiar with what you yourself were writing about.
Yes. Like I said, the team here and myself, we do the research behind all of that and, you know, all of what we write about. And obviously, you know, that was part of our content that we push out. So I don't understand. I mean, I understand why you're questioning everything. Obviously, I get that. But, obviously we stand by it. I stand by it. And, I'm not going to lie. I just don't understand why you continue to question, I guess, what we're doing.
I did not emerge from that conversation any less suspicious than I had entered into that conversation.
Yes, I think
I'll put it that way. So, you know, I happen to know the Sun's editor, Adrian Batra. Despite our critical coverage of them, we have a very friendly relationship when we have a chance to chat. So I said, you know, your newspaper ran the story about me. Like, what's up with this? Where did it come from? And she said, I'll look into it. Ultimately, she offered me equal space to write a rebuttal. I did, but I still really just wanted to know, where did this come from? Do you know this guy? She said, not really, which isn't super helpful. We get so many submissions. So there you have it. Like, you know, the Toronto Sun's editor doesn't know herself where this thing came from, but she published it. And once it's published, it's in the biggest newspaper network in Canada, Post Media, and it gets picked up by other papers.
But it's also the Toronto Sun. The readers of the Toronto Sun are probably not your biggest fans. They're not Candleland's biggest fans. You know that. So tell me why you care.
I'll tell you why. We found out that this article was being used. The WE organization was dealing with fallout from our critical coverage of them, and their head of partnerships, Melissa Stedman, had been circulating this article by Gus Portella around, saying, you know, to various stakeholders of WE, yes, you may have read this Candleland coverage, but, and here's a quote from her email, yesterday several Canadian newspapers, Vancouver's The Province, the Edmonton Sun, the Toronto Sun, they all published an op-ed entitled Canadians Should Be Wary of Fake News. It cites examples of the Candleland website's pattern of misinformation.
So your critics are using this op-ed.
Yeah, I was concerned, not because I felt that WE had anything to do with the production of that article, but I saw evidence that this article was being used as a tool against us.
Okay, so you've got a negative op-ed written about you in the Toronto Sun.
Yeah.
You know someone has tried to attack your website.
Yeah.
And you live on Twitter, so I'm sure that the Twitter bots probably hurt your feelings.
Yes, but Gus's article wasn't the only one. There were a whole bunch more.
In Canadian newspapers?
No, all American.
Weird.
I thought so. I thought it was weird that the Washington Times published a piece about us. The Washington Times, not to be confused with the Washington Post, they published a piece by a guy named Greg Hill titled When Fake News Goes Global. Very similar piece. Fake news is a problem all over the world. It's a problem in this country. It's a problem in that country. And then it's a problem in Canada. Why is it a problem in Canada? Because of Candleland.
Were there any other news organizations cited or just Candleland?
Yeah, he mentions BuzzFeed and the Daily Mail in the UK. And he mentions ABC News. And in those cases, he goes into some degree of detail about which stories he feels were fake news from those organizations. He does the same for us in vaguer terms. I'll just read it directly. In Canada, the blog Candleland has attracted attention for news surrounding the accuracy of some of their articles. For example, the outlet received pushback for allegedly releasing demonstrably false and inaccurate articles in a story penned by one of the outlet's reporters, Jaron Kerr, about a global nonprofit. So without mentioning WE, that is what he's referring to. Technically, WE actually is not a nonprofit, though it has charities within it. The organization as a whole is not a nonprofit, but there's no other organization that's who he's referring to. It follows the same structure as the Gus Portella piece. And like Gus Portella, he didn't respond to our questions. And so again, I tried to get in touch with his editor, and her name is Carol Herman. And here's what that conversation sounded like.
Hi, is this Carol?
Yes.
Hi, it's Jesse Brown calling from Candleland.
Oh, I thought that might be your... I ordinarily don't even pick up my phone, but I thought that might be you calling. So good. How can we help?
Thanks for getting back to me, first of all. I guess, I'm kind of curious what you were able to learn about the genesis of this piece. Had Greg Hill written for you before?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. He came to us via someone who writes regularly for the newspaper, but I can't say whether Greg Hill has written for us before, because I just don't know.
The conversation ended. She didn't argue my point that, like, we should have at a minimum been given an opportunity to respond, and she wiped the story. That was her decision from the website. And then the same story popped up a few days later on The Observer, which used to be owned by Jared Kushner.
Was this exactly the same story by Greg Hill again?
It was the same story with some slight edits and modifications. But yeah, it was the same piece. It went down from the Washington Times. It went up on The Observer. And it didn't end there. The Southeast Texas Record, which is a legal newspaper from Beaumont, Texas, they published a strikingly similar piece by a guy named Ben Proler. Kept happening. We found another one, an editorial on the website Red State by a guy named Zach Almond. There was another one which was published on the California Globe and then quickly unpublished. We can only find a little snippet from it.
Why these publications?
I have no idea. I mean, why anyone in Beaumont, Texas would know or care about Canada Land was like a complete mystery to me. It's only when you kind of like frame it in the context of like, hey, fake news is a huge problem all around the world. Have a look at Thailand. Have a look at the UK. Have a look at Australia. Have a look at Canada. And I guess like, you know, any reader would be like, all right, if you say so. I don't know. I mean, we were just trying to figure out like, why would an editor? The whole thing was a complete mystery. Four of them make references to our coverage of We. One of them just is direct about it and mentions We Charity. And three of them refer to like a global nonprofit, or there's links to criticism of our coverage of We. Add it all up, and here's what we were looking at. Seven very similar editorials slamming Canada Land. There was one batch that came out in November, and then a second batch of stories that came out this past spring. All of the sites were conservative news sites, and four of the authors have direct Republican connections.
Okay. So that's obviously suspicious. So I think I can understand why at this point you're starting to strap on your tinfoil hat a little and get a little bit more concerned about these op-eds. So how do we know when we're looking at these op-eds that it's not just that kind of lazy media thing where an op-ed kind of catches fire and gets bounced around a few publications with the same ideologies?
That's interesting. I mean, I hadn't considered that. I mean, laziness in journalism is usually the answer to a lot of these things. I mean, let's explore that, okay? So it's pretty common for somebody to make an argument in one paper and then somebody else to kind of like pretty much just, I don't know about plagiarize, but copycats. They take the same argument and they kind of rewrite it. We see that happen a lot. I guess to believe that that is what's happening in this instance, you would have to also believe that each person who was a copycat of an argument recreated the exact same format, the same kind of headline, that they all mutually decided not to lead with Canada Land, but to have that as their third or fourth thing. And just by coincidence, they happen to have these Republican connections. It's possible. I guess I consider it extremely unlikely that that's what happened. And Jordan, there's one other piece to this.
Okay.
Canada Land found out that there is at least one other individual who says that they have been solicited unsuccessfully to help in an effort to discredit Canada Land.
Who is this person?
It is Faith Goldie.
Sure.
White supremacist Faith Goldie, a frequent subject of critical news coverage and commentary from Canada Land, she confirms that she was approached in the fall by a Washington lobbyist who was looking for dirt on Canada Land. Faith Goldie, I should mention, has not always been a very reliable source to the media in the past, but I can't think of any reason why she would make this up, and this is what she confirms. So, here we are. I've got this Faith Goldie information. I got these DDoS attacks. I've got this Twitter bot army. I've got editorials in American publications and in Post Media. And maybe the hardest part is I feel like I can't even talk about it without sounding like Alex Jones. But then we caught a break.
What happened?
We had hit a wall. Nobody was returning our calls. None of the authors of these pieces would answer us. But a Canada Land listener named David McDonald realized something. He realized that Professor Greg Hill, one of the authors from Boise State University, well, Boise State University is a state university. It's a public university. And that means that it is subject to open records legislation. American open records legislation. Oh, how I long for American open records legislation. You know our ATIP process here, like 3 years later, you get a redacted document.
Yeah.
Now, in the States, you can just ask a public institution for like anything, and most of the time they will just send it to you within a couple of weeks. So David McDonald asks Boise State University, your professor Greg Hill, has he been emailing anybody about Canada Land? And yeah, it turns out he had.
I can't get over the fact that you can just ask questions like that and get answers right away.
To be a journalist in America with those rules. So here's what the open records request revealed. On May 1st, Greg Hill had written his editorial bashing Canada Land, and a Canadian news organization sends him a question about it. Surprisingly, it wasn't Canada Land. It was Press Progress. The editor of Press Progress, Luke LeBrun, asks him, are you the same Greg Hill who wrote this article that was in the Washington Times? Greg Hill does not answer the question. He doesn't even reply to Press Progress. Instead, he forwards it to a guy named Todd Cranny.
Who's Todd Cranny?
Todd Cranny is a managing director of a firm called Riverwood Strategies. Riverwood Strategies is a Republican political strategy group. They've worked for the Marco Rubio campaign. They've worked for the Mitt Romney campaign. They have worked for a group called America Rising, which is a political action committee that gets oppo research done on Democratic candidates. On the Riverwood Strategies webpage, Todd Cranny describes himself like this. These are his skills. Todd has developed an extensive network of influential political contributors in all 50 states. He understands the process, how to develop and deliver the right message, and what it takes to achieve success for his clients. That's who Todd Cranny is.
Got it. So Greg Hill writes an op-ed, gets asked about it by Press Progress, and forwards that email to this guy.
Forwards it to Todd Cranny and says to Todd Cranny, this guy's trying hard.
Huh.
Here's what Todd Cranny writes back to him. Everything that was written in the op-ed had resources cited and was factual. Here are a few examples that have hit mainstream news highlighting these Canada Land guys. Doesn't that seem strange to you that Todd Cranny is reassuring Greg Hill about a piece that Greg Hill supposedly wrote? Cranny's saying, like, everything in the op-ed, not your op-ed, everything in the op-ed was checked. Is it reasonable for me to assume that
Greg Hill did not write that op-ed?
That either the suggestion for the op-ed or a template for it, or maybe the whole damn thing was provided to him by Todd Cranny?
I think that's fair.
The other thing that was interesting was the list that he provides to Greg Hill saying, don't worry, other people have also slammed Canada Land. Most of the sources on that list were those other anti-Canada Land pieces that I had mentioned before, the other ones that ran by kind of Republican-connected people in the U.S. press.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the only time this happened, because, of course, we also sent Greg Hill questions. Same thing. He forwards them to Todd Cranny. Says, what do you usually do with this? Todd Cranny says, I would just ignore.
Were you able to get in touch with Todd Cranny?
No. He didn't return any of our calls.
Did any of the other authors mention having a relationship with this person?
I did get a couple of them on the phone, and they denied it. Gus Portella denied knowing Todd Cranny, and Ben Proler, the guy who works for Maverick Pack, he wrote one of the pieces, he denies knowing Todd Cranny. And you know what? It's possible that Todd Cranny was involved in one piece, but not all of them. I also tried to ask Zach Almond. He's the one who wrote the piece in Red State. I called him. He didn't pick up. But then, like 5 minutes later, my phone rings. He's calling me back. This is what that sounded like.
Jesse Brown here.
Hey, I had a missed call from you a little bit ago.
Yeah, is this Zach Almond?
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
Hi, Zach. It's Jesse Brown. I'm a journalist in Toronto with Canada Land News. I'm working on a story, and your name came up. I'm wondering if you can chat with me for a second.
Yeah, hey, let me give you a call back here shortly.
While I've got you on the line, can I just ask you if you know Todd Cranny?
Hey, give me a few minutes, man. I got somebody in here with me. I'll call you right back.
You'll call me back? Thank you.
He did not call me back.
I can't say that I'm surprised, but for the people that you did manage to talk to, what did they have to say? How did they come across Candleland?
So both Gus Portella and Ben Proler say that they organically encountered Candleland while doing research for their pieces.
Came across Candleland stuff and determined that it was fake news.
Their story is they were doing their research, they came across Candleland stuff, they determined on their own that it was fake news, and they decided that it was important enough for them to write about for these respective publications.
Sure. So obviously these op-eds show up after Candleland writes about We. So is the idea here that Todd Cranny was hired by We to spread these messages that Candleland is fake news?
No, they didn't. I asked them that question very directly, and they made it unambiguously clear they did not. This is what they said. We and its team have never heard of Riverwood Strategies and or any of its representatives, and We has had no relationships whatsoever with any of the other names mentioned in your email, referring to all those other authors of those pieces.
Okay. So they didn't hire Todd Cranny and Riverwood Strategies, but did they hire someone to hire Todd Cranny and Riverwood Strategies?
No, no to that too. They strongly reject any implication that they had anything to do with any of this and that anybody they work with had anything to do with this. They said, quote, these messages did not emanate from our clients, nor were they authorized by them. And Jordan, believe me, I was comprehensive in my questions. I knew that We had a relationship with Navigator, the crisis PR firm that had been hired in the past by people like John Gomeshi and Michael Bryant when they got into trouble, many other people. So, you know, naturally, I was curious about that. I asked them. They say Navigator is a longtime supporter. And yes, it's also an advisor to We, and it provides them with strategic advice, press statements. They review legal texts for We, but Navigator has not been engaged in any online, editorial, media, partner, or public outreach. I mean, this is about as strong and comprehensive a denial as I have read. And what you look for as a journalist when you get a denial, did they leave any wiggle room? You know, We did not leave any wiggle room. This is a real denial. We've got nothing to do with this, nothing at all, not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse, nothing. And they caution me. Any contrary allegation or innuendo will be relied on in the pending libel proceedings as further evidence of malice towards our clients. So there you have it. And I believe them. I believe that they have nothing to do with this. Like, Jordan, I can't imagine that they would provide such a blanket denial, such an unambiguous denial, if there was the slightest chance that anybody anywhere might be in a position to say or prove otherwise. You know, that would just be too risky. And like, to broaden this out a bit, like not talking about this situation, this is why I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I don't buy into them at all. Like, the truth always comes out. As soon as you have more than a couple of people trying to keep a secret, it becomes very difficult to keep. I mean, even in this case, right, the plotting between Professor Greg Hill and Todd Cranny of Riverwood Strategies, I mean, that is technically a conspiracy in that you have two guys who are clearly conspiring with each other about an editorial that they had obviously collaborated on. But even that tiny little minor conspiracy, they couldn't keep that a secret. So, you know, back to We. No, I really do not believe that they are behind this stuff. And that is not innuendo. I'm not gesturing. I'm not winking. I'm not being cute. I really don't think it was them.
Okay. But it was someone. Somebody did this. So who did this?
Who knows? I mean, it could be anybody. We has thousands of passionate admirers in the world. I mean, it could be somebody like believes in We and is taking up their cause, fighting for them, putting their own money and effort into, you know, thwarting We's perceived enemy because they think that that's the right thing to do. Or it could be somebody else who has it in for us for a completely different reason. I mean, look at what happened between Gawker. Look at how Gawker went out. They thought they were in a legal battle with Hulk Hogan. And the whole time, it turns out they were actually being targeted by billionaire Peter Thiel. I mean, Canada Land has some enemies out there. So all I know for sure about this campaign is that it exists, it's happening. And because we traced it to Riverwood Strategies, we know that it's not just organic criticism. It's organized.
So other than the attack on the website, which obviously I can see having some pretty negative repercussions on the ability for this organization to do journalism, 7 op-eds in some random newspapers, what's the effect that these campaigns are actually having on Candleland?
That's a good question. It's having an effect on me. I've been obsessed with this stuff. What's the harm? It hurt my feelings. You know, it's distracted me. Look, I happen to find this stuff really interesting. If it was happening to anyone else, we'd probably cover it. But I'm way too close to it. Of course, it's my organization that's being attacked. In the case of the attacks on Jaron, it's one of my employees. I feel like he shouldn't have to deal with that shit just in the course of doing his job as a reporter. But like, have these things actually hurt us? Does it matter if the Southeast Texas Register writes a negative story about Canada Land? No, not yet. I'm not really worried about any of these things. They haven't hurt us. So what if all these news stories say these nasty things about Canada Land? I don't think anyone's even noticed them. I mean, I didn't see them shared or commented on online. They weren't very interesting editorials. So what am I concerned about? I suppose I am concerned about what might happen, but hasn't happened yet. I'm concerned that maybe this is a new kind of smear campaign. Like, I think that when you imagine a smear campaign, it's like there's some big bombshell revelation accusing somebody of something. What if the idea here is that it goes under the radar and you slowly build a file of negative stuff associating Canada Land with fake news? Here, there, everywhere. It's in California, it's in Washington. And then you can say, just as Todd Cranny said to Greg Hill in his email, he says, oh yeah, these Canada Land guys, everyone's criticizing them. Don't worry about it. Look at all these different news sources that have criticized them, which for all we know, Todd Cranny was involved with those stories. So it's kind of like you're building an oppo file. I mean, so what could be the impact of that? I mean, one thing that's been suggested to me is that when it becomes frequently stated enough, that association with fake news, that it sort of launders that idea and makes it safer for a bigger news organization to say the same thing. It also occurred to me, like, maybe this is a search engine ploy. Maybe this is just like so that in the future when you Google Canada Land, fake news comes up, or if you Google fake news, Canada Land comes up. Maybe that's what this is about. So I do worry about that stuff. I worry about where this is going. But I think you've got a point. I think it is possible to just not pay any attention to this. It really hasn't affected our business or our lives. If I'm being really honest, the reason why this is such a preoccupation is a split between those concerns and also just the feeling of it, like the feeling that like this is a different way of being targeted. If somebody is coming at us out in the open and calling our facts into question, then we could try to correct our facts, or we can defend our facts if we believe them to be true. If somebody's criticizing us, I could have a conversation with them. But with this stuff, we don't know where the next one's coming from. Whoever is doing this is doing it in the shadows. I mean, they won't answer our questions. That is disconcerting. So I don't know. Maybe I just got to suck it up. Maybe this is just like we throw a lot of stones. You know, we're going to have enemies. People are going to be coming at us, and not necessarily in honest and forthright ways that we can respond to in good faith. Maybe they'll be coming to us through dirty tricks, and that's just something we're going to have to get used to. But we're going to keep doing our jobs. Like, if the idea here was to stop us from publishing, it's not going to work. That was your Canada Land show. I hope you liked it. You can email me about it at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read everything you send. We are on Twitter at Canada Land, and our website is at canadalandshow.com. One thing you will find on our website this week is another excellent episode of Commons season on crude, how oil has transformed this country, and stories about that by Jordan Cornish, who you just heard, and host Archie Mann. I will be back on Shortcuts this Thursday. Big thank you to our amazing guest hosts who have been filling in for the past 2 weeks. This episode, of course, was produced by Jordan Cornish. Our senior producer is Kasia Mihailovic. Managing editor is Kevin Sexton. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. If you like this show, if you appreciate our journalism, if you like our other podcasts, please support us at patreon.com/CanadaLand. We rely on your support.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.